He's right. Oh man, hey, I'm going to be brief tonight, I think. I just want to share some things with you about being a kingdom builder. And you hear us say, you hear us use that kind of language when we're talking. A lot of times when we're teaching, we're preaching, Sunday school and in youth group and all different arms and branches and aspects of the church, we talk about being a kingdom builder and building the kingdom. What exactly is going on? What exactly does that mean? Being a kingdom builder. And so we got to do something this week that was really, really cool. And it's something that I had never been a part of with this church. And what we did was we partnered with Convoy of Hope. And we need to really look into Convoy of Hope over the next few weeks and figure out and just make sure that we all know what Convoy of Hope does and that they are what kind of difference that they make. But Convoy of Hope, they go into places that are dealing with things. You know, maybe a disaster has come through, something has happened. Convoy of Hope goes in and they're bringing relief, they're bringing food, they're bringing medication, they're bringing people. Convoy of Hope is there, and it's such a great organization, and I'm so proud that we got to be a part of what they were doing in northwestern Louisiana. But what we did was we got some boxes, and those boxes were full of commodities. They were full of food, and we got a bunch of milk, and we brought that stuff here, and we just gave that stuff away for free. And Convoy of Hope made that happen. And when we do things like that as the church, when you are being the church for people, that's building the kingdom. When you are being the church, when you are being, we say, his hands and feet, we are building the kingdom, okay? And so I want to read from Ephesians chapter 2. And it says, and this is going to be a little bit of reading here, so bear with me. It says, "For he himself is our peace. He has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, dividing the wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So we want to be kingdom builders. We want to be kingdom people. I love the book of Nehemiah. And then in the book of Nehemiah, two books really, Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra talks about the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, and these people were taken away, that city was sacked and destroyed and everything was broken, and the people were taken away. And so, and in the book of Ezra, you can read about the temple being rebuilt, and in Nehemiah, you can read about the walls around the city, the protection being rebuilt. And these people sacrificed. They went and lived in a hostile place, and they gave up things to go and rebuild. Okay? And so I love reading that stuff. I love learning about building that. And they were physically building, but we can spiritually build. When we work with people, when we love on people, when we show people Christ-like love, we are building the kingdom. We're doing kingdom things. And so I want to give you 7 points really quickly about building the kingdom. How can we do this? How can we be kingdom people? How can we be builders? How can we be doers? How can we pour into people? We want to be kingdom people. So number one is vision. This is a huge deal. This is a really, really big thing as Christians. We want to all have vision. And sure, your church can have vision and needs to have vision and should have vision. Your organizations need to have vision and should have vision. But us as people of God should also have vision as well. What is your vision? What do you see? And if you don't have vision, then I'm afraid that being kingdom-minded you'll miss out on being kingdom-minded because you don't see things, okay? So how can you develop your vision? How can you develop what you see? And there's three things. Number one, pray. We want to speak to God. We want to talk to Him every day. Pastor Daphne has been preaching about this. We want to consistently and constantly pray and talk to God. And I think that one thing about prayer, sometimes we get hung up on how like executive prayer can be sometimes. And sometimes you go somewhere and some pastor will get up and he'll pray in the King James Version. And there's people like me going, I can't pray like that. You know, when I pray, I'm over here going, you know? And listen, it doesn't matter if you pray eloquently or if you pray and sound like you're from Northwest Louisiana, okay? And you've got this southern drawl, and you sound like you eat a lot of catfish, okay? Listen, you're God's kid. And I know every parent in this room, when your child talks to you, you don't say, you sound funny. Don't talk to me. You say, yeah, talk to me. When my kids talk to me, it's a blessing. When my son, and he uses his 2.5-year-old vocabulary to me, it's a blessing. And sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's hard to understand, but I don't ever shun him, I don't ever push him away. So you pray and you keep talking to your Father in heaven and practice that prayer because that blesses him. He loves to hear his children. So we want to pray. If we want to develop vision, the ability to see clearly. You know, we thought that 2020 would be the year of vision. Let me get off on something here. We thought 2020 would be the year of vision. Man, there's churches that opened up the first Sunday of 2020, and they had glasses probably all over the walls and magnifying glasses and telescopes, and they were like, this is the year of vision. And that was going to be their theme for the whole year. And now everybody's going, what do we see? What kind of vision is this? But I want to turn that on its head. I think it still is the year of vision. Because as Christians, we cannot sit still and not see how bad our world needs Jesus. Come on, somebody. And God has wrecked my heart about that. I was thinking about that today, the year of vision, and I was laughing about how I thought it was foolish of us to be thinking like that. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, well, what do you see? What does your vision see? And I see a world that desperately needs to know the hope and the love and the truth of Jesus. So there's some 2020 vision for you. The second thing that we need to be doing if we want to develop our vision, if we want to develop what we see and be kingdom people, the second thing we need to do is read. We need to get in the Word and stay in the Word. Now, reading the Bible can be difficult. I'm going to be really honest with you. It can be a struggle sometimes because if you're not in there a lot, and you look at the Bible, it's a huge book, right? It's a lot of books that aren't huge, that are put together, and it makes a huge library. And it's intimidating. If you're not reading the Word every single day, if you're not studying the Word consistently, it's difficult to get in there because you say, where do I start? I remember that there was a commercial for it was either a Big Mac or a Whopper, and this little boy is looking at his dad, and he just goes, how do I do this? Because this burger is like the size of this kid's head. And he looks at his dad, and he says, where do I start? Because when we see things, a lot of times we see the huge, let's say it's a mountain. You see a huge mountain. Well, that mountain is made of tiny parts, tiny rocks, and they're just put together. And so I challenge you, just start. Start at the first page if you want to. Start in the book of John if you want to. Start in the book of Matthew if you want to. But just start. Just don't start in Song of Solomon. I guess you can. But when you have questions, call Pastor Daphne. Okay? The third thing that I want you to do to develop vision, to develop yourself as a kingdom person, is listen. And this is the hardest thing to do. Because we can pray. That's easy. I remember my grandpa, he would always pray for our meals. And the reason that we always got Poppy to pray for our meals was because he was the fastest prayer. And a guy's got to eat. So, you know, you got to be careful because there's, you know, some people pray a long time. And if you're dying of starvation and you're desperately needing to get into some of that fried chicken on Sunday afternoon, you need to be selective at who you pick to pray to bless the food. Because, you know, you don't want to get in trouble trying to sneak some of the mashed potatoes. But, you know, he would just pray. He'd be like, Lord, thank you for the food. Amen. And that's like, yes, bless that man. But so you can pray. Prayer is pretty easy to do once you get started. It's pretty easy to do. You know, and I don't think that prayer, it needs to be a huge thing. A while ago, I had to meet Jason to, we used a truck to help with our outreach the other day, and there was a piece of equipment we forgot to put back in the truck, so I went to meet Jason to put the equipment back in the truck, and I just felt like God wanted me to pray. And what did I do? I didn't know what to pray for, Sue. I just felt like God wanted me to pray, so I just said, Jesus. I said, Jesus, just be with us. What am I doing? I'm talking to God. It doesn't have to be this huge deal. It's not rocket surgery. It doesn't have to be that. Let's just talk to God. So prayer is easy. But listening, oh my. My son, I tried something a while ago. He was standing in front of the TV, and we were getting ready to leave. He was going to go to his grandmother's house. And I said, hey, go put your shoes on. Hey, go put your shoes on. And we were watching motorcycle videos, and he was just going, Michael cycles. He was pointing. He was saying, that Michael cycle? And I said, Jonah, go put your shoes on. 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 And I thought, I'm going to yell at the top of my lungs and scare him. And I don't like to yell, okay? Yelling bothers me. But I thought, I'm going to yell real loud and scare him. And he's going to go put his shoes on, I guarantee. And I said, Jonah! And he went, that Michael cycle. Didn't even flinch. Didn't even move. And so, didn't even move. So listening is hard. If you have kids or husbands, you know that listening can be a difficult thing. So how do we learn? How do we learn about listening? How do we learn about listening, guys? All right, Jason. This is going online. How do we learn about listening? We have to stop. And we have to think about opening our hearts. Because sometimes our attitude and our opinion and our feelings get in the way of listening. And I think that right now there's a pretty in-our-face example of how listening can be stopped right now in our country. There's a lot of people that need to listen to each other, but they're too busy with their own feelings and their own agendas and their own heart to listen. So I challenge you on that third thing, that hardest thing to do as we're building, as we're becoming kingdom people. Listen. Just stop. Open your heart and learn about listening. The second thing that we need to do as we're kingdom people, the first thing, we need to work on vision. If we want to build the kingdom, we need to work on vision. What do we see? What has God got in our heart? And the way that we're going to develop our vision is we're going to pray, we're going to read the word, we're going to listen to God's voice. We're going to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that we want to do as we are working to build the kingdom is we're working to become kingdom people. We want to be a kingdom body in the local church. The second thing is focus. We want to focus. We want to zero in, dial in on the mission that God has placed in front of us. And I think that God has a calling on each and every one of your lives, all of you. I think every person on the face of the planet, and even those SpaceX astronauts who left the planet, they all have a calling and a purpose given by God, all of us. And a lot of people might not follow their calling. A lot of people might not follow their purpose, but it's there. And so we want to focus on that. And how do you focus? How do you bring that dial that in? Get it really tight. Get laser focused on where you want to be. Three things. Number one, pray. Number two, read the word. And number three, listen. Pray, read, listen. If we want to dial our focus in, bring it in, okay? You don't ever want to lose your focus, because when we lose our focus, then our mission, the things that we want to do, become so blurry. And when we lose our focus, we don't know where we're headed, and we don't know what steps to take, what moves to make when we lose our focus. So focus is very, very, very important. The third thing that we want to do as we become kingdom people, the third thing we want to focus on or do together is camaraderie. As we become kingdom people, we don't want to do this by ourselves. This isn't a solo act. We want to be people, not kingdom person, okay? I want you to be a kingdom people, a people that are called together. When I spoke about ecclesia, we talked about how an ecclesia was a group of 6,000 that were called out, that would move, that would make decisions. And God always speaks. God used individuals. He used Paul. He used Moses. But what did he always do with those? He led them to others, okay? Even the apostle Paul had comrades. The first thing that Paul did when he met Jesus and Jesus knocked the dude off his donkey, the first thing he did and blinded him, he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul said, "I don't know who you are. I'm blind." Okay? He sent Paul to someone. And so we want to walk together as we focus and as we have vision. We want to be in this thing together, because the kingdom is not just a building. It's not just a place. But the kingdom of God is a people and a power. Thank you, sir. I wanted that. A lot of times we say, and this is kind of church lingo, we say do life together. Tonight we are together at Elevate Life Group. Y'all didn't know our full name. It's Elevate Life Group. But we talk about doing life together. And that's kind of a really churchy term. But why is that important? Because what do we say when we talk about somebody that wanted to go and pursue their dream? What was your dream? Well, I wanted to be an elephant trainer. Well, you're a CPA. What happened? Life happened. Life happens. Brittany and I went on vacation last year. I had a great time. I caught a lot of fish. Actually, I caught one fish. Actually, I caught a fishing line, and the fish was attached to the fishing line. But you know, I reeled it in, though, so it counted. I took a picture of it. Anyway, but we were having so much fun, and we thought, man, this is going so smooth. Nothing was going wrong the whole time. And then we got out one morning. I walked out to our Jeep, and we were going to go. We were going to leave the hotel and go somewhere else. And I looked at the Jeep, and it was sitting kind of funny. And I went and looked at the tire, and the tire was sitting real funny. And I'm talking pancake flat. Life happens. And sometimes life will slap you across the face. Uh-huh. Anybody who's like had an appliance burn up and had to go buy a new one knows about life slapping you across your face. And so when we say do life together, that's a kingdom people moving through those situations together. Good things. The birth of children and grandchildren, marriages, career changes that are positive. We get to go through those things together and be excited for each other. But we can also walk through horrible things together. Losses, defeats. But we can walk through those things together because we're a kingdom people and we're a kingdom power. We serve a God that's powerful. The next thing, and I'm gonna work to blaze through these because I don't want to run out of time here. We fixed the clock. The clock was off. It's really, you got to have the clock because if not, man, you don't want the preacher where he can't look back there and see the clock because you never know what'll happen. We could break out into a 5-day revival and innovation. What are you talking about, innovation, in Community Church North Webster and Spring Hill? Innovation, what do you mean? Listen, God wants us to be creative. He wants us to be a people that are moving, that are not stagnant. And so if you have an idea, if you have an urge to do something and you say, you know, Pastor Daphne, God's just laid this on my heart. Guess what? Let's do it. Let's move. Donna had an amazing idea a few days ago. And what do? When you're kingdom-minded, you build each other up. And if somebody has an idea, God's leading somebody to do something, jump on it. And let's go. Let's do it together. Let's build the kingdom together. The next thing, and this is hard, is humility. If we want to be kingdom people, if we want to be kingdom-minded, we've got to be humble. We've got to be willing to fail for the kingdom. We've got to be willing to swallow our pride for the kingdom. And that's a really difficult thing to do. But sometimes in our walk, as we work to be kingdom people, as we work to be a kingdom movement, sometimes we have to face failure. And it's not easy. But we've got to do it. So be prepared to lose your pride, to check your attitude and your pride at the door. Leave it there because we want to be kingdom people. We want to be humble. The next thing is outreach. If we want to build the kingdom, we can't stay in our safe house. We can't stay in our safe house. Moses spoke to all the tribes of Israel. They were camped out at the base of a mountain. It was safe. It was secure. They were social distancing or not. They were safe. They were secure. They had food. Nobody was messing with them. And what did Moses do? He said, get up. We're getting out of here. They said, Moses, are you crazy? He said, no, I'm following God. If we want to be kingdom builders, we've got to be ready to move. We've got to be ready to reach out and not stay in our comfort zones. We've got to be ready to move. And I challenge you. That is one of my greatest aspirations for Community Church North Webster is that we continue, because we're already doing it, church. Come on, somebody. To continue to reach out, to continue to impact our community. Something was said one time, Pastor Don Brankle came and preached here, and he said something that shot me through the heart. Man, it was just like a spear right through my chest. He said that he was lost on the way in, which was not surprising, but he was lost on the way in. He was driving from Texarkana, and he got lost on the way into Spring Hill, and he stopped at this gas station right up here. And he said, hey, I'm looking for First Assembly of God. Do you know where that is? And the girl said, no. Man, I was shocked. I was wrecked, Sue. When he said that, I knew right then and there that we had to do something to change that. Do we want glory? No. Do we want people to say, oh man, that's the best church in town? No. Well, sort of. But no, we want to reach people. I don't care if we handed out 100 boxes of food, 90 gallons of milk the other day, 95 gallons of milk, I'm sorry. It's a lot of milk. I don't care if none of those people come to this church, but I do care that we impacted their lives, because that's the kingdom, okay? So we want to reach out. And the last thing, we want to be kingdom-minded. We want to be kingdom builders. We want to be kingdom people. And the last thing that we want to do to achieve that is be a generous people. God is good. God is a generous host. We call him the host of hosts. He is so generous. He is so good to us. So let us be generous as well. Let us bless as we are blessed. If we want to be kingdom people, if we want to build God's kingdom and do kingdom work, then you pour into others. You give. You be generous. Okay? And that's hard. It can be really hard. But that takes faith. And we can do it. Let's be generous. Let's build the kingdom. God will bless us. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what God does. And I want to recap these really quickly. The first thing we want to do is kingdom builders. As kingdom people, we want to have vision, okay? And the way that we do that, the way that we get our vision is we pray, we read, and we listen. We want to focus. How do we dial in our focus? We pray, we read, and we listen. We want camaraderie. We want to build the kingdom, not by ourselves, but together. And the way that we can help do that, the way that we can achieve that goal, is we can pray together. I skipped this part a while ago. We can pray together. We can read and study together. And we can listen together. We want to innovate. We want to pour into people that have an idea, that feel the Holy Spirit moving something, urging them to do something. We want to jump on that, push those people forward, make those things happen. And how can we open our hearts and minds to innovate, to come up with great ideas, to move the kingdom forward, to build the kingdom? We can pray, we can read, and we can listen. Humility. We want to check our pride and throw it in the trash can. We don't need it because we're building the kingdom. How can we slow our pride down? How can we have a better attitude? We can pray, we can read, and we can listen. Outreach. We want to reach out as we build the kingdom together. And how can we become bold enough to do that? We want to plan an outreach probably very soon, maybe this week, maybe next week, and I'm very nervous about it because it's something I've never done, but it's something our community needs dearly. And so how can we prepare ourselves to reach out, to bridge gaps? We can pray. We can read. We can listen. And finally, we want to be a generous people. We want to be a generous people. We want to give to those who are hurting, who are in need. God's got our back. God's got our backs. And it's hard to do that sometimes because we forget that. When we start to give away our hard-earned treasures, when we start to bless people, sometimes it's really hard. So how can we become brave? How can we become led to be a generous people? You already know what I'm going to say. We can pray. Seek God's face. God, make me generous. We can read. We can study his word. And we can listen to his voice. We're kingdom builders. And the kingdom of God is alive. The kingdom of God is moving. The kingdom of God is not a building. It's not a place. It's a people with a power in their hearts. Let's pray together before we close. God, make me a kingdom builder. Make me a kingdom builder. Give me the mindset that wants to reach out, God, that wants to help build your kingdom. God, make me a kingdom person. Make me focused on you. God, open doors for our people here and all over to build your kingdom. God, that hearts and minds would be impacted for you, that lives would be changed in positive ways, addiction would be broken, curses would be removed, boundaries would be destroyed, and people that are in bondage, that are tied up, that are encaged, God, that are enslaved by things, would be set free because of the power of your kingdom. God, give us kingdom builder hearts, kingdom builder mindsets, and kingdom builder abilities. We ask all these things. We worship you and we praise you. In Jesus, we believe in you.